Welcome to The Road We Travel, a podcast production of Drive Smart Virginia. I'm Rich Jacobs. Our guest today is Lee Bailey. He is the sheriff of New Kent County in Virginia. Obviously, you do a lot of traffic patrols. I wanted to talk to you about traffic trends after COVID and some things that we have seen in the statistics, and then get into some specific law enforcement approaches that you're using. Would you agree with me that something happened around the time that the closings were in place for COVID, where there was less vehicle traffic, that some drivers' behavior changed, probably for the worse?
Absolutely. We certainly saw that coming out of COVID. You know, what we were experiencing was obviously many law enforcement agencies kind of pulled back with traffic enforcement during COVID just due to the risk of exposure. And, you know, especially for us being a smaller department, we couldn't afford for the entire department to be out on quarantine. So we were trying to limit exposures as much as we could. And unfortunately, what we started to realize was, even though we were seeing fewer vehicles on the road, after a period of time, they were traveling at much higher speeds. And, you know, we actually had some internal discussions and said, you know, obviously we have to risk the chance of being exposed because we can't just sit back and do nothing. And, you know, in a 55 mile an hour zone, what we were typically seeing were speeds in the 70, 80, 90 mile an hour range. And as time went on, and even today, we're seeing, you know, much, much higher speeds than we've ever seen. Or certainly at a rate much higher than we've ever seen.
And you mentioned that there were fewer vehicles on the road. Normally, when vehicle miles traveled goes down, fewer vehicles on the road, fewer crashes, fewer fatalities. But that's not what we saw. Although crashes went down, which is what we expected to see, fatalities went up. And that tells me that the crashes that did occur on average were less survivable. Would you agree with that?
I would say that that is certainly accurate. Like I said, and I think a lot of that is just based on the higher speeds. I know, you know, through the past several years, 4 or 5 years, you know, the increase in motorcycle crash fatalities, pedestrian and bike fatalities, you know, they seem to be occurring at a much more frequent rate than they had in years past.
Especially pedestrian fatalities and injuries are up in Virginia. The seatbelt, and I know you're big on occupant protection, especially child car seats, but occupant protection is an issue in Virginia. We have one of the worst seatbelt use rates in the country.
Unfortunately, that is very accurate. And unfortunately, you know, we see the results of that as far as with the fatalities, you know, that we see on our roadways. You know, we've got about 20, depending on the survey of the year, you know, anywhere from 20 to 30% of the population not buckling up, but they tend to account for, you know, 50 to 55% of the fatalities.
And those numbers should tell people, you know, wearing a seatbelt's a good idea.
Absolutely. Well, today, especially with all the airbags and the safety equipment that are inside the vehicles, you know, if you're not properly restrained, you know, the airbag that's designed to help you survive a crash can actually be very harmful to you because you're not in the position that you're supposed to be in, you know, as you go through the stages of the crash.
Also, now in Virginia, every occupant in the vehicle has to be belted. Even the back seat passengers are supposed to be belted under the law. That's new. It's not a primary law, but it is now the law that everybody in the vehicle has to be belted. And that's especially important for people to understand. Like if you're riding in a sedan and there's someone unbelted behind you and you're the driver, even if you're belted, that passenger becomes a missile in a crash. And only bad things can come from that, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I don't want to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, as a rough estimate, you know, it's not the true physics calculation, but, you know, to give you some type of rough estimate, you know, if you take the weight of a 200-pound adult and, you know, the vehicle traveling at 55 miles per hour, you know, you're looking at about 11,000 pounds of restraining force that's going to be needed to keep that occupant in place, or that occupant is going to strike someone in the vehicle with that amount of force, which, you know, certainly is a tremendous amount of force. And, you know, that just intensifies, you know, with a higher weight person or a faster speed.
Yeah, it's mass times speed is the equation. And yes, that packs a lot of energy.
Yes.
What is what's the new Kent County Sheriff's Office doing on the enforcement side? I know that you said that during COVID it was a challenge because you had to keep your officers out there, but you had to keep them safe and had to keep the public safe. How has that changed now? What's going on now? And is it getting better out there? Or are we still seeing some really really scary numbers? I mean, routinely I'm seeing tickets posted on social media by different law enforcement agencies that are well over 100.
Absolutely.
I mean, it seems like routine.
Yes, we're seeing those on a much more frequent basis. I mean, we had a board member from one of our board of supervisors. She was actually posting on her social media, you know, and she did it for a couple of weeks, and it just, the trend continues. It, you know, she would just put on there, you know, today in court, you know, there were 18 cases for speeds in excess of 100 and 25 cases for speeds between 90 and 99. So, you know, the speeds that we're seeing are outrageous. They're speeds like we haven't seen before. You know, at least at the rate that we're seeing them today, we're getting speeds 130s, 140s. You know, it's been a little while now, but, you know, I actually had a motorcycle pass me on Route 60 at 134 miles an hour at 7:30 in the morning, and, you know, just trying to get to work. And, you know, I was on the side of the interstate writing a citation for someone talking on the cell phone going through the work zone. And, you know, a trooper went flying right on by. And, you know, as soon as I released the subject I was writing the ticket to, I pulled in behind him, and he'd stopped the vehicle in the rest area at the entrance to the rest area. And he's like, you know, he just came through at 106. So, you know, that's morning rush hour traffic, I-64 eastbound, you know, at 106 miles an hour. I was mid-September at the sheriff's conference and had a sheriff, you know, approach me there and said that he came through our county and was going through the work zone. And he said, I thought I was on a racetrack. He said, you know, it looked like Talladega where they were jockeying. You could literally see people jockeying for positions as they were coming through the work zone.
You can see them coming in your rearview mirror, you know, weaving in and out of traffic as they just get bigger and bigger in the rearview mirror.
Yes.
What happened? And what's the penalty for somebody who gets stopped speeding like something ridiculous, like 120? What are they looking
normally
at?
Normally,
can you just take the license right there and tear it up?
Unfortunately, not. Unfortunately, now you write them a citation and you set them a date to appear in court, and they come before the judge. And, you know, typically what we're seeing with our courts, you know, for speeds in excess of 100, routinely they are going to jail, and they will pay a significant fine, and they will lose their driver's license. So that's the pretty standard. You know, during COVID, it was a little bit different because, you know, jails weren't really taking new committals unless it was some kind of a major crime. So, you know, some of those did not occur back during that period of time. But, you know, typically things in court today for speeds in excess of 100 miles an hour, you know, if you're convicted, you're going to go to jail.
And I know you by reputation, as well as, you know, knowing you from Drive Smart Virginia, you've been a good friend of Drive Smart for years and years. By the way, how long have you been the sheriff in New Kent County?
I've only been the sheriff almost 2 years. I've been with the sheriff's office a little over 32 years. And I'll have 35 years in law enforcement in February. And I had some time as a teenager as a volunteer firefighter and volunteer rescue squad person. So as far as doing community service or public service, you know, I've been in one of the facets, either law enforcement, fire, or EMS since 1984.
That's terrific. I know that you are out there on the road with your deputies writing tickets. You just mentioned, you know, the motorcycle situation. So you don't just sit back and look over trends and data and stuff. You're out there and you see, what does somebody tell you when you stop them and they're driving way beyond the speed? Well, I mean, just at a reckless pace, let's say. It doesn't have to be over 100, but is it usually, I'm sorry, I'm running late?
And the gentleman that I had riding on the motorcycle at 134, that was exactly what he stated. He said, I was supposed to be at work at 7:30 and I woke up at 7:30. And, you know, he didn't have a terrible driving record. And, you know, but obviously when he was convicted in court, you know, he did get jail time. He lost his license and paid a significant fine. And, you know, we do hear that. Well, I'm just trying to get away from another vehicle, you know, just different things along those lines. You know, to me, if a vehicle's creating an issue, you know, slow down, let the vehicle go on past you. If that doesn't work, pick up the phone and call 911 or hit 911 on the hands-free or something, or tell it to call 911. We really don't want people holding a phone in their hand, but we'd like to have them pulled off the road safely to make a call. But in an emergency, you know, if you've got something going on that you need to alert emergency services, then certainly make that 911 call.
Sure. Well, let's go talk about occupant protection again for a minute. Children's car seats. I understand you are, and I'm going to get this, I get it wrong every time I try to say it. child safety seat certification technician?
A technician certification. Yes, sir. I'm an instructor and have been for about 27 years now. You know, heavily, our agency has been heavily involved with occupant protection for many, many years. And, you know, for us, you know, I don't know much that we can do that can help save a life of someone on the highway other than making sure that our children are properly restrained and making sure that, you know, we're trying to set that example for life. If hopefully from the beginning they're in a car seat and then they transition through the stages of the car seats and hopefully into a seatbelt system, that they will remain in the seatbelt system and hopefully be an advocate to try to get others riding in the vehicle to buckle up as well. You know, now with the law where it does affect everyone riding in the vehicle, to make sure that everybody has their seatbelt on. Anything we can do to try to make the roadway safer for everybody out there on it.
And like we say over and over and over, a seatbelt is your best protection against just about everything you run into out there. Distracted drivers, speeders, reckless drivers, drunk drivers, you know, that's your first line of defense. Because you may not see it coming. It's the other person you got to worry about. You know, we're all perfect drivers, right? Everybody thinks they're a great driver.
Yes.
Got to watch out for the other guys. So buckle up. There's a reason race car drivers, astronauts, pilots, they wear the seatbelt for a reason. So,
and that's what I normally tell people as well, just like you mentioned, you might be the best driver on the highway, but unfortunately you're sharing it with the worst drivers on the highway. So making sure that you're properly restrained is certainly going to give you your best chance of surviving a crash.
What's your advice to parents who have a car seat? Can they, I have a grandkid, two grandkids, and I put them in, it's a nightmare. They seem way more complicated than they need to be.
Yes. And, you know, in some instances, they've actually gotten a little bit easier, but some of them, it just depends on the vehicle. They can still be very, very difficult. What I would suggest doing, you can go to safetyseatva.org. You can go to Safe Kids website and do a search if you're looking for someone that is certified in your area. It is not always the fire department or not always the sheriff's office or police department. You know, it may be a hospital that has, you know, that service available. You know, I know the Richmond area, Richmond Ambulance has that, Richmond Fire, Henrico Police, our sheriff's office obviously has been very active for many, many years. And, you know, I know a lot of the other surrounding areas, James City, Police, Hanover Sheriff's Office, Chesterfield, you know, has some that are certified as well.
Well, moving on to the enforcement side, I wanted to talk about speed camera program that you're running in the construction area in New Kent on I-64. I'm looking at the map now. That's a big stretch of road that they're working on.
Currently, our segment runs from about the work zone signage and everything starts at the 204, at the 204.5 mile marker and goes to about the 215 mile marker. And we are currently doing photo enforcement in that area. And, you know, what kind of prompted this? We've done automated speed enforcement in our school zones for almost 2 years now. And, you know, with the use of the cameras in the school zones, One, you take the risk out of an officer trying to pull out. You know, all of our schools are off of a two-lane road. So, you know, unfortunately, we don't get a vehicle at a time. A lot of times that comes through, they're in a row of cars. So if you had a vehicle speeding, you've got a deputy pulling out trying to pass three or four cars, you know, on a two-lane road. And that can be difficult and dangerous. So, you know, with the use of the automated speed enforcement with the cameras, because we realized we had an issue with speeding in the school zones, especially when we opened the new school in the western end of the county, we saw significant speeds in that section of the road. And we had done some free surveys. And then after we had been up and running for about a year, we saw about a 95% reduction of speeding in the school zones. And even today, I mean, the numbers that we're seeing for violations in the school zone are next to nothing compared to what they were 2 years ago. So the cameras are doing exactly what they were designed to do. You know, I will tell you, I had no intentions of doing photo enforcement or automated enforcement on the interstate in the work zone. But what prompted that, you know, we started hearing crashes when you hear dispatching us and fire to a call on the interstate. You know, it was a 3-car crash. It was a 5-car crash. It was a 13-car crash. And, you know, that kind of prompted me to start looking at some numbers because, you know, the state police routinely handle the interstate and the activities on the interstate. And when we started pulling numbers through the course of the year, at the end of last year, the total numbers in comparison, in 2023, we had 240 crashes on the interstate in New Kent County. In 2024, that went from 240 to 444. And like I was mentioning, the multi-vehicle crashes, and I categorized anything as a 3 or more vehicle crash as a multi-vehicle crash. Mm-hmm. You know, us and the state police, we're very used to working the single vehicle crash, the 2-car crash, but the 3, the 10, the 13, we're not real accustomed to working. And when we started running the numbers, you know, at the end of 23, we had 27 crashes involving 3 or more vehicles. In 2024, we had 125 crashes that involved 3 or more vehicles. Wow. And for instance, the morning of the 13-car crash was down around the 208-mile marker on 64 West. Well, obviously, that backed traffic up to the 211, and this was before the work started at the 211, so we had a full bridge that had 2 lanes of traffic going across it. Now, that intersection, that interstate overpass, is only 1 lane because they're replacing 1 lane at a time, so they're running traffic by signal, one direction goes, then it stops, then the other direction goes. So it would take a lot more time to cycle all of that traffic through. But the morning that we had the 13-car crash, we had about a 3.5-mile backup on New Kent Highway, which is one of our main primary roads that all of our schools are off of. Okay. And we had about a 2.5-mile backup on Route 60. Well, 20 years ago, you know, okay, if you had a major crash like that, you know, and we need to, you know, say we had an emergency call in the western end of the county, you know, we could take the back roads to get around it and get to the western end of the county or the other end of the county, you know, wherever the incident appeared to be, you know, or vice versa. You know, we could take back roads to get there. Well, now with GPS routing, you and 1,000 of your best friends know the back roads as well. So
that's right.
A lot of times it's just traffic setting on back roads as well. And it has really impeded emergency services trying to get public safety resources moved from one end of the county to the other. And, you know, you could say, well, just if that's the case, then just put dedicated resources there. And, you know, in most cases, we do have dedicated resources there. But when they're being pulled out to answer a call, then it now opens that up and you're now trying to move units around depending on where the need is. And, you know, so that's what prompted the use of automated enforcement. We saw the results of, you know, the number decrease, amount of decrease that that we saw in the school zones with the automated enforcement. I know that we will never see that kind of drop in the work zone because, you know, it's not local traffic that you're constantly dealing with. There's a lot of transient traffic. There is a lot of regional traffic. I mean, we are seeing, you know, there are some motorists that we're seeing frequently come through the work zone in violation. And, you know, with the automated enforcement, with the photo cameras, you know, one of the excuses we're hearing, well, I was just going with the flow of traffic. Well, if the flow of traffic is going over 71 miles an hour, it's very likely that you and the whole line of traffic are going to receive a citation in the mail.
And that's a good point, Lee, because, you know, an officer in a patrol vehicle on the side of the road can't write that many tickets. It just can't happen. It's not physically possible where the camera can.
Well, and the other problem, like I mentioned earlier, I've been on the side of the interstate in one capacity or another since 1984, and I have never been as concerned as I am today standing on the side of the road. One, just the speeds, the inattention of drivers that are coming through the work zone. But the other thing with the actual work zone itself, with the lane shift, we don't have full width lanes nor a full width shoulder. So when you're stopping a larger vehicle, and I'm not saying a larger vehicle like a tractor trailer or a dump truck, I'm referring to a larger vehicle like a Ford Expedition, a Chevy Tahoe, an F-150 pickup, which is just your full-size truck or SUV, there's not enough room for you to, in most of the work zone area, for you to put your right wheels on the right edge of the shoulder. If you're doing that, then your left mirror is going to be sticking out into the travel lane. And people don't, for some reason, they don't want to pull off of the paved shoulder onto the grass to get a little bit more room in there. They just park it right on the shoulder, which creates a very big concern with the vehicle traveling by, you know, if they strike mirrors or something along those lines. And, you know, like I said, just with the driver inattention and the speed that we're seeing, it's very concerning. I mean, we've had a trooper that's been hit since the work zone started. We've had a fire truck that was hit, you know, out there as well. So, you know, I know we're seeing all around the country, you know, in Virginia, in South Carolina, all around Ohio, you know, where we've had public safety officers or tow truck operators, VDOT workers, you know, that have been struck and severely injured or killed on our highways. And, you know, if people would just slow down and move over, that's really what we need them to do. And, you know, I know, you know, I'll just throw it out there about the revenue. People say, well, this is just a revenue generator. You know, truly, I could care less how much is generated from this. My goal is for you not to pay New Kent County a penny and just don't speed through our work zones.
Well, that's kind of the point. You know, if you don't speed in the work zone, what's the problem?
Exactly. And to me, that I've given you the answer. The answer is don't speed in the work zone and New Kent won't make a dime. So, but unfortunately, that's not what we're seeing. We're seeing ridiculous numbers of speeders. I know when the vendor did the pre-survey the week before we started doing warnings, in 5 days, Monday through Friday, and they were roughly 10 to 12 hour days, and they were to the exact time that the work zones were active. You know, they captured over 38,000 violations in 5 days. And, you know, so that just goes to show how big the problem is. You know, this isn't just a couple hundred cars that are speeding. This is a tremendous problem. And even with the cameras out there, it's still a tremendous problem. You know, I will say the preliminary numbers that I'm seeing, you know, obviously I know what the violations are weekly that are actually being processed. Those numbers do appear to be trending downward, as well as our crashes. You know, if you look at the quarter, July 1 through September 30th of 2023, 2024, and 2025, those numbers are actually lower in 2025 than they were in 2023, which, you know, tells us that the numbers are heading in the right direction. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. You know, our goal is to make it safe for everybody traveling up and down the interstate, or how the workers that are, you know, the work crews that are out there working, that it's safe, as safe as possible for them. And this is not going to be a short-term thing. You know, this is going to be the current segment of the work zone they're working on right now in New Kent is not slated to be done for about 2 more years. And the next 10 miles should be under construction, I would estimate, in the next, you know, I would say sometime just after Thanksgiving, between then and mid-December, we'll see the next 10 miles under construction as well. So all of New Kent County will be under construction and the first 10 miles of James City County.
And the automated enforcement, I just want to describe that a little more thoroughly. It's not like a robot taking pictures and sending tickets in the mail or an artificial intelligence program or anything. There are human beings involved in this process.
Correct. The vehicle captures the violations, and, you know, currently there's a vehicle on the eastbound side and a vehicle on the westbound side. There are actually two units in each vehicle.
You mean cameras?
One captures with the cameras, right, and the photo equipment. So it's designed, or the LIDAR and the photo equipment. And what it's designed to do, one is designed to capture the left lane, the other camera is designed to capture the right lane. And that goes through, it gets processed to the company reviews it, and they will go through and look for any issues. You know, the license plate's not legible, multiple vehicles in the image, and then they will purge some of those out as well. and what they will do once they have those that appear to be more identifiable. They then come to a portal, and a deputy actually they review each and every citation. And, you know, the deputy then determines, yes, this is something. I've got all the information I need from the citation. I can process it and move forward. And, you know, what we want is, you know, we're not going to just approve it to approve it. You know, we need to be able to stand up in the event you contest the case and stand before a judge and be able to show it's this vehicle. This is the tag. This is the description of the vehicle, date and time and all of that. You know, it is unique because it is a variable speed zone where it is 70 miles an hour when the workers are not present, and it is 60 miles an hour speed limit when the workers are present. So it does change. And, you know, we do have some of that or hear some of that. Well, you know, the sign said 70, the sign said 60. And, you know, there is a time, you know, typically we've been seeing in the mornings, they've been changing right at 7 o'clock in the morning. So you could, in theory, pass one sign and it say 70, and you pass the next sign because they've made the time change or the switch to 60. We do have a 5-minute buffer built in to allow you to go from one sign to the next sign, or pass. You would be past the equipment by that point in time. So, you know, our goal is, you know, we don't want to issue a bad citation. But, you know, we want to make sure that the zone has changed and, you know, that people have been notified of that change. And we still hear that, you know, it's, there are no signs and this, that, and the other. And there are multiple signs out there.
I was going to say, I drive through there. Yeah, I drive through there frequently. And it's no secret that there are enforcement cameras there. The signage is there.
Correct. It is. And, you know, the other, we did a 30-day warning period that we were required to do a 30-day warning period for per our land use permit with VDOT. We actually did a 41-day warning period. You know, I did interviews with a lot of the Richmond area media, Daily Press, Virginia Pilot, WRVA Morning Show. So, you know, our goal was to get the message out. It also went out on all of our social media, went out through some of VDOT's channels as well. You know, so it was no secret that what we were doing, and our goal is I want people to know what we're doing, and I want people to slow down coming through our work zones.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Just please slow down. And you're not writing tickets necessarily for like 61 and a 60. We're talking about 71 and a 60.
Correct.
So,
you know, and it is also a possibility, you know, even though the photo is out there, you know, there's still deputies and troopers out there still writing citations. So, you know, just because you get one with the photo doesn't mean you can't or wouldn't get one from a deputy or a trooper.
A work zone is an incredibly dangerous environment for everyone involved, but it's like driving through a tunnel. If something goes wrong, if something's not paying attention, it could really get bad quickly, because there's Absolutely. Nowhere to go. There's just nowhere to go. Right. It's like being in a tunnel. I think it's a great program. I hope we see more of that in the state for folks who are concerned about interacting with law enforcement. It's a terrific solution.
Yeah.
A deputy's not pulling you over. You get it in the mail. You pay the ticket. You know, you did it.
Yeah, and, you know, there is a tremendous difference between the photo and a deputy or a trooper writing a ticket. You know, I know we've been before our court with, you know, a deputy or a trooper writing, or myself writing a ticket, you know, someone running 77, 78, depending on their driving record and all. And, you know, they were coming out of court with a $300, $350 fine plus court calls. Hmm. It goes on their record. It goes against their insurance versus the photo. It's a flat $100 civil penalty. You know, I think one of the other big issues that we're seeing still, whether it be in the work zone or just in general, is still people riding around talking on a cell phone, holding a cell phone in their hand. So, you know, we are still very active with that enforcement as well. And, you know, that's probably the number one ticket that I personally have written in the work zone is people talking on the cell phone, going through the work zone. I will typically hop in the right lane, hop in behind a tractor trailer, follow behind him at, 63 miles an hour, somewhere in that range. And, you know, as people go by,
yeah, they'll go by. I was going to say, yeah, they're going by.
So they are. So, you know, we are are certainly looking for that as well.
But so,
like I said, our main goal is just try to make it safe for everybody out here. And, you know, unfortunately, not everyone wants to make the best choices and the right decisions. And some, you know, it takes some interaction between them and law enforcement or them in the court before, you know, you may change behavior. But, you know, our main goal is to slow people down coming through the work zone. You know, like you mentioned, going through a tunnel, you know, I kind of equate that same thing to the, you know, that's really what we're seeing or appear to be seeing with a lot of these multi-vehicle crashes. You have somebody hit the Jersey wall and then they deflect back out into traffic and it's like bumper cars.
Yeah. There's no escape. Know. Yeah.
Right. So plus people driving too fast, too close. So, you know, my suggestion or recommendation would be slow down, you know, take your time going through the work zone, try to make it safer for everybody. And hopefully you can arrive to your destination without any issues.
Yep. Buckle up, don't speed, move over. And if you can't move over for the flashing lights, slow down, and
don't drive impaired.
Don't drive impaired. Don't drive high. All that stuff. It's common sense stuff. It's funny. We have to keep reminding people.
Yes, no doubt. No doubt.
Our guest has been Lee Bailey. Lee is the sheriff of New Kent County here in Virginia. And they're right now using photo enforcement in a work zone. And it seems to be doing a lot of good. Lee, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Honored to do it. I greatly appreciate it.